Hey guys, it's Scott. I just want to thank you for tuning into the Blue Ridge Church podcast. You know, I hope this is encouraging to you. I hope it's inspiring to you. And I pray most of all, it's going to help you on your faith journey. So enjoy today.
Well, good morning and welcome to Blue Ridge Church. My name is Cody. I'm one of the pastors here. And I just want to tell you again, whether you're hanging out with us online or you're here in person, thanks for being here. We're glad that you're here. This morning, we are continuing a series that we've called Unstuck. And we're talking about this series, in this series, this idea that God really wants us to live an unstuck life. And we get stuck in life from time to time. Like, let's be honest. We get stuck in our past. We get stuck in what other people said about us. We get stuck in our hurts, habits, and hangups. We can get stuck in a life in this spot where we just feel like, man, I just can't change. I'm never going to change. Last week, Scott talked about how we can actually get stuck in religion. We can get stuck in religion and legalism. Scott talked about John chapter 3 when Jesus met this guy named Nicodemus. Nicodemus was stuck. He was stuck in religion. He felt bogged down by all the rules and the regulations that he thought that he had to follow in order to have a right relationship with God. And why did he feel like he had to follow all these things? And if you had asked Nicodemus, what he would say is, well, that's how you get right with God. I mean, that's how we get right with God, is to just be exceptionally good people. And then we're good, right? Or you work really, really hard to be good so that your good outweighs your bad. And then you work really hard after that to stay good, and then you're good, right? But remember how Jesus responded to Nicodemus. He said, no, no, no. You've got to be born again. He says, remember that religion and rule following, that's never going to save you. It's never going to make you right with God. There's no amount of good that you could ever do, no amount of money you could give away, no amount of church you could go to, no amount of attendance at group or group leading or volunteer hours or name the thing, right? None of those things can give us a life that Jesus really wants to give us freely. You know, Jesus has said it like this, and it's been our theme verse. It's John 10:10. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. But I have come so that they may have life and have it to the full. Another translation says that they may have a rich and satisfying life. I love that. This is what Jesus came to promise us. This is what he came to invite us into. A life lived to the fullest, not a stuck life, but a satisfied life. Not a meaningless life, but a meaningful life. A life that leans into how God designed us and how he wants us to live our lives. And this is the good news of today, is that the promise of that full life doesn't just exist for the rule follower like Nicodemus. I mean, that makes sense, right? He's trying to follow the rules, so God's going to say, okay, well, here's some full life. But this promise extends to the rule breaker too. That's what we're going to see today, that even those who have broken all the rules, those of us who have lived a wild life, those of us who had bad habits, those of us who have bad habits, those of us who from time to time keep bad company, those of us who continually fall short, those of us who feel stuck in our past. Today, Jesus encounters this person that would define themselves that same way. Not as the rule follower, but as the rule breaker. See, Jesus doesn't just offer life and life in abundance to those who are trying to find him, but Jesus also offers life and life in abundance to those who are running the opposite direction, away from him, In John 4, John sets the stage for us that Jesus is traveling through Samaria and he's on his way somewhere else. John 4, 5 through 6 says it like this. Eventually, Jesus came to the Samaritan village of Sychar, near the field that Jacob gave to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired from the long walk, sat wearily beside the well about noontime. Pay attention to that detail, right around noontime. That's going to be important later. But John sets the scene for us. Jesus is simply tired from travel, and he sits down to have a drink, and he goes on. He said, soon a Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, please give me a drink. He was alone at the time because his disciples had gone to the village to buy some food. The woman was surprised, for Jews refused to have anything to do with Samaritans. She said to Jesus, you are a Jew and I am a Samaritan woman. Why are you asking me for a drink? And this leads us to learning number one. Becoming unstuck, it starts with our identity. It begins with our identity. You know, we have all these details in this story for a reason. And to us, they sound weird. I mean, it sounds like she's been a little confrontational, doesn't it? It's like, well, what do you want with me? Why are you talking to me? Get your own water. Leave me alone. And it may be how she felt, but really, there's a story behind that. Right? She couldn't imagine that Jesus would talk to her because Jesus was a Jew and she was a Samaritan. And if we read this back then, we would understand immediately that what Jesus was doing here was totally countercultural. That Jesus and Jews and Samaritans, they didn't talk to each other. That Jews hated Samaritans. And then the Samaritans resented the Jews. And the reason that they didn't like each other is because the Jews thought that the Samaritans were basically imposter Jews. In fact, they would typically go the long way around Samaria altogether to avoid having to talk to anybody from Samaria. Now, just a pro tip, if you're trying to get to Lexington, Kentucky from here, there's a way that you can go through West Virginia or around West Virginia. Okay, you say it's the tolls, right? But wait, no. I'm allowed to talk like that. I got family in West Virginia, okay? So don't beat me up after. But the Samaritans, they had a different place of worship. And they said, no, this is the true place of worship. And the Jews said, no, this is the true place of worship. And then there was this also kind of bloodline thing that they had issue with the Samaritans too. Because the Samaritans were Jewish people who had married non-Jewish people. And so the Jews said, well, your bloodline isn't pure. And so there was confrontation about that. And so we see, if we unpack all those details, really the details that John gives us, we see that this woman's response is warranted. It makes sense, right? That she can't imagine that Jesus would talk to her. That she's stuck in her identity as a Samaritan, as someone who Jews say would be less than. And we're going to learn it's not just her identity as a Samaritan that keeps her stuck, but it's her identity as a rule breaker that gets her stuck too. And this is where I think many of us get stuck, where we identify as a rule breaker, someone who's far from God, someone who tells ourselves, well, I'm never going to change. What's the point? Or I'm not a person who goes to church, or I'm not a person who could have a relationship with God or talk to God. I'm not someone who could have a faith. It's just in my bones. You know, my daddy was like that. His daddy was like that. I'm probably going to be the same way. And because of these identities, these stories really that we tell ourselves, an ultimate story, which is that God wouldn't want to have anything to do with me. But that couldn't be further from the truth. See, Jesus longs for us to experience life in abundance by having a relationship with us. Regardless of what we have done, regardless of where we're from geographically, regardless of what kind of family we're from, regardless of the labels that we stick on ourselves or the stories that we tell ourselves that have a tendency to keep us stuck. God wants a relationship with us. Let's keep reading. 4:10 through 15, Jesus replied, "If you only knew the gift God has for you and who you are speaking to, you would ask me, and I would give you living water. But sir, you don't have a rope or a bucket," she said. "And this well is very deep. Where would you get this living water? And besides, do you think that you are greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us this well? How can you offer better water than he and his sons and his animals enjoyed?" Jesus replied, "Anyone who drinks this water will soon become thirsty again, but those who drink the water I give will never be thirsty again. And it becomes a fresh, bubbling spring within them, giving them eternal life." "Please, sir," the woman said, "give me this water, and then I'll never be thirsty again. And I won't have to come here and get water." And here we find learning number two. Becoming unstuck starts with realizing that Jesus' solution is the best solution. It's the best solution. We're going to see here in a few minutes that this woman identifies as a rule breaker. She's a rule breaker. She sees herself as that because she's been trying to fill a hole in her heart with any means that she could possibly find. That she doesn't have a stellar track record of making decisions because she doesn't have a stellar track record of making good relationship decisions. As she's had multiple husbands, and then she's had so many husbands, it seems like at some point she gave up on the idea of having a husband altogether, and now she's living with boyfriends and seems to be going from man to man to man. Now, we know these details about her because John tells us, and when we know these details about her, like Jesus knew these details about her, it changes the story for us. It changes the story because we see that this woman feels stuck in her identity as a kind of like this unworthy Samaritan, forgotten about people group, looked down on. But then we also see that she sees herself as a failure too, as a rule breaker. Maybe somebody who's unworthy of a life with God, unworthy to be talked to by somebody like Jesus because she might view herself as unworthy of love in a romantic companionship. You know, somebody to celebrate you and prize you enough to say, "Well, I'm going to go ahead and marry you." See, Jesus knows this about her. Scrambling around, this has been her life, that she's scrambling around trying to find life that's truly life. And again, she's going from husband to husband to boyfriend and trying to find fulfillment in her life. But Jesus extends an invitation to her to find life another way. And he says that fulfilled life doesn't start with anything else other than Jesus. The hole in my life, the hole in your life, that doesn't get filled by chasing after the things that we try and chase after to try and fill that spot. There's not enough money that can fill it. There's not a person really that can fill it. There's stuff that can't fill it. Experiences can't fill it. Leisure time, substances, fill in the blank. Those things are not meant to be ultimate in our life. A relationship with Jesus is. And really, there becomes this terrifying moment in the pursuit of those things when we come to realize that they never truly satisfy us. It's really what I call it's hell on earth. When we have everything we thought we ever wanted, but it's just not enough. You reach that point when you make enough money that the bills are paid. And what do you want? Just a little bit more money. It's not going to satisfy us. Or maybe you get to a spot where, you know, you can finally start to enjoy some experiences. and you enjoy an experience, you go on a trip, you come home, you get antsy after 3 or 4 weeks, oh, I need another trip. How many trips is enough trips to like truly satisfy? You go on a trip long enough, you think, man, I gotta get home, right? There's this kind of restlessness to us. For those of us like me who have been addicted, there may be a point when you finally set it up perfectly and you could just drink as much as you thought you could ever want or eat or smoke or whatever it is. And you realize, oh, it's not enough. The truth is that this is where we find ourselves stuck sometimes, because as we try and pursue those things and chase after those things that are promised to fulfill us, really all we have left is a bunch of stories that we'd really rather not tell and an empty soul. So Jesus doesn't want her to live like that anymore. And he doesn't want us to live like that anymore. He wants us to live a life that's worth living. Life that's truly life. And that life begins with him. Truth is that there's no way to fill that spot in our soul, that spot that's longing for God and a relationship with our Creator, with anything else that will satisfy it. Might distract it for a little while, but eventually, God will continue to call us. Let's keep reading. John 4, 16 through 19. Go and get your husband, Jesus told her. I don't have a husband. The woman replied, Jesus said, you are right. You don't have a husband, for you have had 5 husbands, and you aren't even married to the man that you're living with now. You certainly spoke the truth. Sir, the woman said, you must be a prophet. Skip a little bit ahead to verse 25. The woman said, I know the Messiah is coming, the one who is called Christ, and when he comes, he will explain everything to her, to us. And then Jesus told her, I am the Messiah. I love this. I hope that we really feel the drama of this moment, that we don't just shrug off this story, because this is when it really gets good. That this woman who sees herself as stuck, as forgotten about, as unworthy, as far as you could possibly be from God in her eyes, that this is one of the first times that Jesus reveals who he is, and he chooses to reveal that to her. What an honor. What a gift. See, Jesus would have known that this woman was stuck, that she had made choices that weren't the best. And he talked to her anyway. And he loved her anyway. And this leads us to learning number 3. Becoming unstuck starts with realizing that you can never disqualify yourself from God's love. When she realizes in this moment, Jesus knows stuff about her that Jesus shouldn't know. She calls him a prophet. He knows stuff about her that she doesn't want her neighbors to know. That's why it says that she comes to the well around noontime so that none of her neighbors will see her. I mean, her neighbors knew what was going on, right? That she's had a bad track record of relationships. They would have known, right, that she was trying to fill an emptiness in her life, and her pursuit of those things was causing her to break more and more rules and take more and more shortcuts. She was so desperate for a relationship, for validation, for love, for fill in the blank, and she was longing for life to change. She would come at noon to the well so she didn't have to hear the whispers or look at the sideways glances and to feel the judgment from her friends who came and gathered well in the morning or water in at the well in the morning before it got too hot. So she would come and experience that discomfort, and she'd have the shame that she could almost you know, feel. She had no expectation in that moment, in her pain and suffering and brokenness and hurting and being judged by others. She had no expectation that God would ever come to her. Stuck in a cycle of relationships and mistakes that she was desperate to hide, and all the while, it wasn't helping. What's beautiful is that God himself, Jesus Christ, the one that she has been waiting for, the one that so many people have been waiting for, comes directly to her in the midst of all that and says, I am the Messiah. I see you, and I love you anyway. Listen, I've told you parts of my story before, my struggle with alcohol. And that's why I talk about it like this. I can't help it. Because I've been in this spot before. That I've been stuck. I've been stuck in my mistakes. I've been stuck in an identity. I've been stuck in what other people said about me or said that that was all I was ever going to be. I've been stuck in my past. I asked my dad for permission to tell part of his story because he found himself in that same spot. That when I was 8 years old, he went to rehab for the same thing that years later I'd find myself struggling with. And he finally decided to go to rehab because he felt like he had exhausted every opportunity, every avenue to try and get sober on his own. And it just wasn't working. But he knew that there had to be something else. And so just kind of in this moment of humility, he went and saw the chaplain. He went and saw the pastor at this rehab. And he told the pastor, he said, you know, I think I've got to get my relationship with God figured out. Because he's the only thing I haven't tried. So the pastor said, well, do it. He said, I just can't believe that God would want to have anything to do with me. The pastor asked him, he said, do you know the Lord's Prayer? My dad said, yes. The pastor said, well, say it. My dad started, he said, our Father who's in heaven. Pastor said, stop. My dad's like, oh man, I messed up already. I told you I wasn't a church person. You know, I don't even know the Lord's Prayer. The pastor said, say it slower. My dad said, our Father. He said, stop. Stop there. He said, whose Father? He said, our Father. The pastor said, you got two boys, right? My dad said, yes. The pastor said, is there anything that those boys could ever do to make you stop loving them? The pastor said, my dad said, no. Pastor said, then why would your heavenly Father feel any differently about you? My dad said the next day he went for a run at the rehab, and early the next morning he was running, you know, through the fog and through the cool of the morning, the quiet of the morning, and the sun rose and the fog cleared. And he felt like in that moment that God just came to him, and he was just like right there. Right there. And it's as if God said to him, you're not too far gone. By the grace of God, he's been sober for almost 25 years. And by the grace of God, I had an experience like that too with God. I've been sober for almost 8. And the truth is that this is the life that Jesus longs for us to experience. This moment and this lifestyle, really, of forgiveness and love and grace and life that's truly life, the unstuck life. See, my dad's story and my story and the woman at the well story, they all have the same common thread. That there's no amount of mistakes, there's no amount of sin, there's no amount of mess-ups, there's no amount of falling short that will ever make God stop loving you. That if Jesus came to her despite her identity, if Jesus came to my dad despite, you know, all the stuff that he got into, if Jesus came to me, I promise, I know. We have proof here in these stories like this that Jesus wants to come to you too, to offer you a different kind of life, a life in abundance, forgiveness and grace, an unstuck life. So would you invite him in? I just want to pause right here in this moment. We've got another learning to cover, but I just want to pause right here in this moment. We're not going to do anything weird like ask you to stand up or raise your hand or go to the back or come to the front or whatever. Just sit where you are. We're all going to pray together. I just want to give you a moment where you can come to him if you need to take that first step towards him this morning. Let's pray together. Jesus, we're thankful for how you love us. Just pray that if there's somebody here this morning that feels like they're too far gone, if that's their story, if that's where they feel stuck, if that's their identity, we just wrap them up right now. Let them feel your love, let them feel your presence. There's no such thing as too far gone. And that you want a relationship with them. And to start that relationship, would you help him just say a prayer like this? Jesus, I've been a mess of my life. That yes, I've fallen short. I've chosen what I wanted over what you wanted for my life. But in this moment, I know that you have a desire for me to live a life that's unstuck. That you love me, that you care for me, that you don't judge me. And that the truth is that you're not far from me. So I want to begin to follow you today. I know that the truth is, if I keep doing life on my own, I'm going to stay stuck. Would you help me? Would you help me to live a life that you really want me to live? Amen. All right, so we aren't quite done yet. But I'll be quick. 4:28 through 30, the woman left her water jar beside the well and ran back to the village, telling everyone, come and see a man who told me everything I ever did. Could he possibly be the Messiah? So the people came streaming from the village to see him. And here we find learning number 4. Living unstuck means that your mess becomes your message. Your mess becomes your message. Now imagine this scene for a moment, right? This is the whole point of her coming to the well, right? She brings her jar, this task that defines her, this thing that she has to do every single day. She's leaving this behind because nothing is as important as what she just heard and what she's just experienced. She says to her neighbors, come and see the man who told me everything I've ever done. And he loved me anyway. He forgives me anyway. For those of us who have been following Jesus for a while, you know, this is our story. That we aren't defined by our failures anymore, that we're not defined by our former life, that we're no longer just bits and pieces of our story. But because of Jesus, we're part of his story. That we're not a people who find our identity in the things that we have done or that we haven't done, but we find our identity in the things that Jesus has done. And so when we talk about our life, you know, we don't make light of our mistakes. We don't, you know, brag about some of those crazy stories we used to get into. But we've got to be open to some degree with our story and what God has brought us out of, because our story might be someone else's story. That someone might find themselves like us, alone, forgotten, stuck, tortured by our past, judged by others, holding on to life that's not really life, and trying to find other ways to find life and digging deeper, and really, it's just making things worse. Jesus interrupted all that, and he tells us there's no such thing as too far gone. And for those of us who have a story like that, our mess, this mess that we made for ourselves, or the mess that was thrust onto us or contributed to by other people, that story can become our message. A message of love and hope and grace and forgiveness. And a message of, I did all that stuff too, and look at what God has done in my life. And if God did it for me, he can do it for you. God did for me, you know, what I couldn't do for myself. So my question for you, those of you who have been following Jesus for a while, who needs to hear your story? Who needs to hear how your mess turned into your message? And he did it for me, and he can do it for you too. Sometimes, you know, we get scared about this. Like, well, I can't talk about Jesus with, you know, my coworkers or my family members. Because we think that we have to know all the verses, you know, or we're terrified of the questions that they might ask us. But here we see all we have to do is say, you know, I don't know the answers to all that stuff. But let me tell you something that I can't deny, is that Jesus did something for me that there's no way I can explain it apart from him. That I was stuck, but now I'm unstuck. And Jesus wants to do that for you too. Let's pray together. Jesus, thanks for how you love us. Thanks that there is no such thing as too far gone. Thank you that you are ready to receive us, all who are ready to follow you, to put our faith in you. That's where we find an unstuck life. For those of us who have been following you for a while, or maybe that just started following you this morning, thank you for the opportunity to turn our mess that we made for ourselves, or that other people contributed to, and then it just became this thing that it never intended or thought that it would be, that mess now can become our message. That we can brag on you and the good things that you have done in our lives. We just ask to have boldness, like the woman at the well. We ask that you would place someone in our life this week that we would bump into, our family or a coworker or something, that we could just share our story. It does us good, our hearts good to share it and to be reminded. And it doesn't have to be weird, and we don't have to recite a bunch of verses and have all the right answers, but just to be honest enough to say, this is what Jesus did for me. Would you put a person like that in our path this week to share, to invite next week? We know that you have a heart for absolutely every person in the New River Valley and around the world, and we have a part to play in helping people find and follow Jesus. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to tell you, I got a bunch of stuff to tell you. But one is that we've got a prayer team after this service that's going to be right here. So as you dismiss, if you need prayer in your life, they're right here. If you made a decision to invite Jesus in your life this morning, would you let us know on the app? And then we've got a gift for you at the hub if you want to stop there. And if you made that decision online, let your host know. We'll mail you a box. If you've come prepared to give today, we thank you. We're in the middle of our capital campaign called Advancing the Vision, and we remodeled some bathrooms and remodeled some student space, and then the parking lot in the back is part of that project as well. We're making good progress on that. We thank you for your generosity. We're putting some light poles up there and then doing some landscaping as well. So again, thank you for your generosity. We could not do that without you. Thank you for helping people find and follow Jesus, and it's easier when they can find a parking spot, right? But again, thank you for being here. We have a young adult lunch on March 23rd. So if you are 18 to 25, if you're in college, if you're at Radford, if you're at Tech, if you're working, wherever you find yourself, if you're in that age group, we just want to meet you. We want to feed you lunch. We want to give you an opportunity to meet other people that are in that age bracket. There's a sign up on the app, but to be honest, you can just come. So hang out with us March 23rd after the third service. We'd love to see you then. Thank you all for being here. We will see you next week. See y'all.